So you've oriented us to what, why we're doing what we're doing, why we're sitting at this table, why we're going to continue to sit at this table. What would you hope that people would get from a podcast like this in terms of walking away?
I hope that this podcast can help people develop a love for the Old Testament.
So we'd like to say welcome to everybody who is watching this brand new podcast that we are just starting called Treasures Old and New. Mr. Tim Howe, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. How are you, Greg?
Good. I'm excited. New venture, new chapter, not only in the life of our church, but in the life of just you and I together and really talking about things that I think need to be talked about, certainly maybe for a long time coming. So I wanted to start by reading a passage and then maybe just asking you a couple of questions about it. Maybe you can help ground us and orient us a little bit. So let me start with that. Matthew 13, we're going to be in verses 51 and 52. Here's what it says. This is Jesus, by the way, speaking to his disciples. Here's what he says. Have you understood all these things? They said to him, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. Now, maybe you can start with that. I was just trying to think, how do we begin this? And I'm thinking, well, maybe you can orient us between the interplay between the dynamic of these two words, right? What it means to be, to have a treasure that's old and new, and maybe some of the context related to that as we kind of start this discussion.
Yeah, well, thank you, Greg. And I think for me, the place where we have to begin thinking about treasures old and new, both in the context of this passage, but also in the context of what we're doing, is to recognize Christians have really a 500-pound gorilla in the room, and that is, what do we do with the Old Testament? Most Christians have a hard time with the Old Testament, finding it mysterious, sometimes maybe even offensive, difficult to understand. And as we think about the Old Testament, there really is a question. What does the Old Testament have to do with us, Christians who live in 2022? What does it have to do with our lives? How do we relate to it? And that's where I think this passage sheds so much light. Because as we think about the Old Testament, we can look at the New Testament writers. We can look at Jesus as he taught, and it's recorded in the Gospels. We can look at Paul and Peter and James, and we can look at them and discern how they saw the Old Testament. And I think this passage is so interesting because in the middle of several parables or at the end of several parables on the kingdom of God, Jesus is declaring this new reality, the inbreaking kingdom. Jesus has come. Jesus is piercing darkness. Jesus is bringing the kingdom of heaven in the book of Matthew, the kingdom of God in the book of Mark and Luke. He's bringing this kingdom reality to earth. And yet, as he talks about the law, he describes it in this final parable saying, again, as you read, that those who adopt the kingdom of God, those who accept it and embrace it, those who live in this new kingdom reality, as they look at the law and as they look at the Old Testament, what we would call the Old Testament,
right,
they look at it and they can find in it treasures old as well as the new treasures that Jesus is bringing in the kingdom of God. And so I think the fundamental position that we have in looking at the Old Testament as Christians is to say, man, there's treasure here. That's what Jesus is saying, is that we can pull out treasure that's old, we have treasure that's new,
right.
And as we think about all of the treasure that's stored up in the Word of God, we look at the Old Testament, and at least part of the answer of how we relate to it is to see it as a treasure trove that God has given to us so that we can know Him, understand Him, and ultimately embrace this kingdom that Jesus is talking about in Matthew 13.
Now, I want to really touch on that because you talked about old, and when I think about our context, right? So we think about our culture, right? We're all products of our culture at some level in terms of our worldview, the way we think, the way we process even words.
Right.
Old to me brings a connotation. It has some positives, but it's also got some liabilities to it, right? So I think about, you could say like an old car. That's cool. Like that's vintage and that's like maybe even valuable.
Right.
I would say, it seems to me at least, a lot of what we talk about in terms of old brings with it the negative, brings with it the liability of that's old fashioned, that is like the old guard, that's the, you know, all of these kind of old dynamics, which carries with it the inherent or the, I guess, implied reality of not worthless, but what's the word? Like not viable for today.
Yeah.
And so do we bring
outdated.
That? Outdated is even better. Do we bring that into our understanding of the Bible?
Yes.
And what's the issue with that, if we do, if you would agree?
No, I do agree. And we live in a culture that hates old. You know, we want to do whatever we can to not look old, to not feel old.
Yeah.
And part of that's technology. You know, things get old so quickly. And we have that idea of old being irrelevant, old being outdated. And I think it's a great question, and it helps us define our terms even. Because as we think about the Old Testament, I think it's worth reminding ourselves that Jesus, Paul, Peter, James, John, none of them referred to the Hebrew Scriptures as the Old Testament. In fact, that label didn't come until basically 200 years after Jesus, well after the apostles. Miletus of Sardis was the first one to call the first 39 books of the Bible the Old Testament. So we shouldn't do what the New Testament does not do. We shouldn't really refer to it as the Old Testament, but hey, that's kind of the label that we're stuck with. As we think about this book.
Can I speak to that though?
Yeah,
what would you call it?
Yeah.
Like if you're right that, hey, this is what it is now. But
right.
In a perfect world, what would you think to...
That's a good question. I mean, we could call it what the New Testament writers do, the Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures. And even just in helping our audience understand, Old Testament, the word testament is just a Latin word that means covenant. And so the implication is that as we look to the Old Testament, we're looking at an old covenant. And then when we look to the New Testament, we're looking at a new covenant, which I think really muddies the waters even more. And here's why. When we think about what Jesus did in the new covenant, I think we can understand that.
Yeah.
He offered a sacrifice once for all sin. He brought in the kingdom of God, a living reality in a new way. But to contrast the new covenant with the old covenant, it sort of gives the impression that there was one old covenant that God was working and establishing and doing in the Old Testament, and there's one new covenant that Jesus came to bring, which is actually not true. The Old Testament is really a compilation of several different covenants that all progressively show how God is working to achieve and accomplish salvation for all humanity through Christ. But to say that it's the Old Covenant is really a misnomer. So again, the New Testament writers, I'm not sure I have a great answer, but the New Testament writers, they looked at the Old Testament and they said, these are the Holy Scriptures. These are God's Word. I mean, for instance, in Ephesians 6, when Paul says, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God,
he's
talking about what we call the Old Testament.
Yeah, right.
So I'm not sure. Some people call it the First Testament. Some people call it the Older Testament. Some people refer to it as the Hebrew Scriptures, just referring to the language. I don't know that I have a great answer, but I think that we at least need to acknowledge the problems that come with calling it the Old Testament.
Yeah, and what if that's true? And I couldn't agree more. But Why this sense of trepidation then? Why, you know, like, because you see this across the board.
Yeah.
And I wonder, we've lost ground, because I would bet, and I can't speak, you know, definitively on this, but I would bet that if you and I were able to transport ourselves back 300 years to faithful followers of Christ and, you know, take a Bible test with their Sunday school people, I'm guessing we would have our work cut out for us. You know, I'm guessing we've lost some ground. And so why the trepidation? You know, is that a modern issue? Why?
That's a great question. And to me, the reality of how we relate to the Old Testament really comes down to a fear that oftentimes goes unspoken. But when you have conversations with people, it comes up. And that fear is this. Can we really worship, adore, and praise the God that the Old Testament describes? And as a follow-up to that, how do we understand the God that the Old Testament describes in relation to the God that the New Testament describes? Now, we know what the Sunday school answer is, right? We know, yes, there's one God. And of course, as Christians, we believe that God is triune. So we worship the one who is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But somewhere kind of deep inside of us, I think there's this disconsonance, right? There's this sense of friction between how we see God portrayed in the Old Testament and how we see God portrayed in the New. To me, that's really the crux of the issue, is that there's this unspoken fear that we know the right answer, But we really don't know how to live out that answer. And to me, I think that's something that we need to work to correct. We need to work to show and demonstrate how the God who proclaims himself and describes himself in the Old Testament is truly the same God that we baptize in the single name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Mm. And let's go back into the text for a minute, because we named our, you know, this podcast, we named it Treasures Old and New. And I wanted to unpack the verse, I guess, as a good, like we said in the beginning, as a starting point to say, number one, why do we name it that way? Mm-hmm. Could have named this thing anything. We took it out of Matthew 13, right? But, and as I think about, I guess I want to talk about treasure with you.
Yeah.
Certainly a biblical view of treasure as it, and specifically as it relates to Matthew 13. Mm-hmm. If you look at the passage, as I got it in front of me here, you see a progression. This is like, you know, all of Matthew 13 is basically a chapter of parables, right? And so you're seeing this progression of teaching from Christ. Mm-hmm. And he starts, you know, with a bunch of seed related parables. The sower, you have here the weeds, you have here the mustard seed, those kinds of things. But then he transitions from there into now kind of treasure language. He gets three specific parables that I'm thinking of, which is parable of the hidden treasure. You got the pearl of great price, and then we jump into our namesake portion, which is treasures old and new. Anything to that related to kind of a progression dynamic?
Yeah.
And then what do we do with, I guess, the term treasure? You know, and then I guess all that to say, why did we name it that? Is there a relation there?
Yeah. Well, I think like almost everything else in the New Testament, we really have to understand the Old Testament context to understand what Jesus is doing here. So again, fundamentally with these parables, they all relate to the kingdom of heaven. How do we understand the kingdom of heaven? How do we understand the inbreaking nature of it, that Jesus is bringing something that is new? He's doing it in his own name. He's creating a community around himself with himself at the center. He's bringing in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Now, as he does it, and this is so brilliant, it's so amazing, as he does it, he speaks of these treasures. And I think that's picking up on the language even we see in the book of Proverbs, where basically the author of Proverbs, Solomon, and the other authors as well, they talk about seeking knowledge, seeking wisdom. And don't think of that in terms of trivial knowledge. Like we're thinking in terms of the fear of the Lord, or a knowledge or a wisdom that flows from a relationship with God.
Right.
And here's what Proverbs tells us. It says, you need to seek the treasure that wisdom is. You need to seek the treasure that knowing God is more than you seek anything else in your life. And particularly in the context where he's describing a Jewish scribe or a Jewish teacher of the law. Those scribes were people who sought to understand God through the law, and they were the kind of people who would have agreed. They would have said, amen, we need to look at the Old Testament, which is just another way of saying Jesus's Bible or their Bible.
Right.
We need to look. That's maybe the answer to the question. I would call it Jesus's Bible.
There you go.
But
that's better.
As they looked at the scriptures that God gave, they saw it as a treasure trove of wisdom and how to live in this world and how to relate to God. So treasure is the treasure of how we live. Treasure is the treasure of how we relate to God. Like, God didn't give us the scriptures so that we would be a bunch of Bible nerds. He didn't give us the scriptures so that we could go and feel like we're superior because we have superior knowledge. No, he gave us these scriptures to know him, to relate to him. And so what I believe Jesus is saying is, when it comes to treasures old and new, he's reminding us the way we relate to God, the way that we walk out that relationship, there's obviously so much good in what Jesus is telling us, but I think he's reminding us, listen, I'm not coming, as he says in Matthew 5, I'm not coming to erase the law. He says, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest jot or tittle will pass away until all things are fulfilled. The treasures that we see in Jesus' Bible are still there, and they're ready for us to dive in and go after them.
And to your point exactly, I mean, as you read this text, you know, if you only read 51 and 52, it's strange to me at first reading.
Yeah.
Jesus is talking, he's asking his disciples, who we just know as the disciples, right? You know, it's hard sometimes, I guess, to put ourselves in the dirt with them, in their shoes, first century Judaism or, you know, Jewish reality, what that looks like. But he says, have you understood? They say, yes. And then he goes, yeah, therefore every scribe. And you're like, wait, if you're trying to be serious with the text here, you're going, right, what in the world? But to what, to your point exactly, which is what was a scribe, they would have understood what a scribe was. Somebody who's, right, a teacher of the law, understands the law, an interpreter of the law. And what you see now is the 12 are going to, in terms of, you know, obviously that we know the connection of, you know, 12 disciples versus 12 tribes. I mean, we have a new Israel that is going out to do the thing that old Israel failed to do. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be the actual interpreters of the law, because why? Jesus is telling them, giving them interpretation of the parables, the thing he didn't do with the crowd. He's giving them unique understanding and is going to then have them go and teach. And listen, you and me are sitting here today, 20 centuries after the fact, still praising and honoring their teacher.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean? Yeah. So in other words, them being scribes, they fulfilled their mission. You and I are evidence of that. I mean, you know, we now have a love for a Jewish Messiah, a Jewish rabbi from back in the day because of what they were doing there. And he is saying, therefore, every scribe is trained for the kingdom of heaven. And they're going to bring out old treasures and new. So through Christ, they are going to be able to interpret the old treasures and the new treasures.
Yes.
It's powerful.
And I think that's the key. I mean, Jesus is the interpretive key to the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Jesus inaugurates this new reality. He brings in this new vision of what God is doing in the world through Christ. And of course, we know from the rest of the New Testament that that includes Gentiles as well as Jews. Paul talks about this in Romans, the Jew first and then the Gentile, first and then the Gentile. But what Jesus is reminding these scribes of is he's saying, listen, you have treasure that's already there, but that treasure ultimately points to me. And this is, and if we wanted to go deeper in the book of Matthew, of course, it starts with a genealogy that goes all the way back to Abraham. We see that emphasis throughout Jesus' teaching, but also even as he ends the gospel with the Great Commission, he says, go unto all nations, fulfilling that promise that he made to Abraham in Genesis 12, right, through you all nations will be blessed. And he's reminding these scribes, he's reminding these Jewish teachers that would have been tempted to sort of stay in the rut of the old alone. He reminds them, listen, the entire Old Testament was written with eyes on the horizon, with eyes looking forward to a prophet who would come, to a king who would come. And he's saying, I am that king. I am the one who has come, God in the flesh. That's why we baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus is telling them, man, there are treasures, but ultimately I am the treasure that the old points to. I'm the treasure that the new speaks of. And that treasure helps us in terms of relating to God in our everyday walk.
So you've oriented us to why we're doing what we're doing, why we're sitting at this table, why we're going to continue to sit at this table. What do you hope, kind of last question, what do you hope people will get from, this is kind of, you know, like if you had 10 seconds to tell me, what would you hope that people would get from a podcast like this in terms of walking away?
I hope that this podcast can help people develop a love for the Old Testament. That's my desire, to look at the Old Testament not as something that, you know, can I give you an analogy real quick?
Let's do it.
My wife and I, you know, we have people over, whether it's Connect Group or other things, and sometimes we close our bedroom door because we get the living room clean, we get the dining room clean, we close it, and sometimes we even lock it.
That's right.
You know, we don't want anyone to go in there and see
off
it.
Off limits. Yeah.
A lot of times, that's how Christians view the Old Testament. Here's this room that's like, hey, you know, we don't want our friends to know about it. It's there, you know, but we lock the door. And I want Christians, especially, I want us to say, man, we love this text.
Right.
Like, we love it so much that we are willing to build our life on it. And of course, we follow Jesus, but we can't separate following Jesus with loving the Old Testament. That's what I hope. And I hope that what we're going to do here is going to help people by uncovering some of those treasures, by giving them examples of how the Old Testament really does pay off all of the study, all of the work that we would put into it, because truly, there's so much riches. There's so much riches. And in addition, we'll understand the New Testament better. We will understand so much better what the apostles were saying, what Jesus was saying. In fact, you can't understand it unless you look to the Old Testament. Because again, this was, we call it the Old Testament.
Right.
They would call it my Bible.
That's right.
My Bible.
The Bible.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, Tim, really excited what God's going to do. I think God's already started a big thing in us. We've had many discussions previous to sitting down here. So I'm really excited about what we're going to get into. You and I both, I think, would be humble enough to say we don't have all the answers. We may not even have a lot of the answers. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. We'll see. But I think that what we do have and we do share is a seriousness for God's word and mm-hmm. and a love and an affection for God's word. And that's you talked about your hope. And one of my hopes is completely in concert with what you just said, which is I hope people gain a greater affection for God's word, but his whole word, mm-hmm. because it is not a divided story. It's a complete holistic story about God's redemptive purposes for the earth. And so, I'm really excited. Where can people go now? What can people do if they have kind of questions? Let's talk about that real quick. Is this our first thing here? What can they do?
Well, it's so important because through the Bible, we come to know God.
That's right.
Through the Bible and by the work of his spirit as we read it, we come to know him and therefore we can follow him. We can experience all that he has for us by going to his word. Now, in terms of what people can do, if you have questions, what we want to do is not just, hey, what's interesting to Tim and Greg?
Yeah, right.
You know, we want to answer questions that people have about the Old Testament, and there are many questions. There are many questions that we all have. Some of them are easier than others, but whatever questions people have, we would love for you to submit the questions to us.
Right.
We'll basically pick one each episode and save it kind of for the end to answer that question and to give the best understanding we can of some of those difficult passages that make it a little bit harder to just open the Old Testament and run.
Yeah.
And
so you can email those at treasures@hbclebanon.com. That's where we're going to go again. treasures@hbclebanon.com. If you have any specific questions or because we're going to tackle things that we think are really, really important or pertinent, but we might miss what that one question you've been struggling with for years or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Or that one thing that a coworker said that you don't feel like you have an answer for.
Yes. And there's nothing to me, there's nothing more exciting than seeing someone who struggled with the scripture have that light bulb moment where the Lord just shows them, oh, okay, this is something maybe I struggled with, but this is a way that I can understand it that truly helps me to love and serve God that much more.
Thank you for joining us today for Treasures Old and New. If you would like to go deeper in your walk with Christ, be sure to check out our new training page at equip.hbclebanon.com.